All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 447 for Thursday, September the 2nd, 1945. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and fucking up the intro. I'm Morps, I'm drinking Woodfords, we have Mad Men.
Hola, como esta interwebs? How is life?
Short, bitter, and full of pain.
Oh, you're depressing. Life is wonderful.
Have you not seen the rest of the show notes?
There's so many great things in life, such as booze, cigars, beautiful women, which are in my possession right now, but I've been told you can purchase them on the internet. It makes the internet a great thing.
You can purchase women on the internet?
Oh, yeah. You get a great prices, too, these days, man.
Don't say it too loud. But yes.
I mean, now the Americans pulling out of everywhere. Geez, the price of women has just dropped.
There is no cause for alarm. Grasp the nearest oxygen mask and put it over your nose and mouth immediately. There is no cause for alarm. Breathe normally. Use the strap on your mask to keep it in place. There is no cause for alarm.
I didn't actually mean to hit that, but I decided to let it play.
that's a new one.
So, I was trying to flip the soundboard back over to the regular regular set of sounds, but yeah, there is no cause for alarm. Did we finish the intro? Are you? What's up?
Not much, man. Just drinking the inevitability of what is.
Well, do you want to open with the speech from Air Leader, or do you want to go into the stories?
Yes, play it from the Commandant.
I'm a bit tired of hearing people saying, I don't know how to do my job properly. And I think that's really mean. I remember being criticised. Just remind everybody how criticised I was. That's not acceptable. I hope everybody likes staying at home because we are going to go into lockdown forever. Nobody from New South Wales is going anywhere. We will have 2 million police officers standing at the corner of every street to monitor every single citizen. We're really watching very closely. I hope this really will be devastating. We don't like to be heavy-handed, but what we need to say today now is that if you leave home, we will give you a death sentence. Please know that you will be shot in the face, and I hope it's painful. You are required to obey what we say when we say it, and if you don't, you can prepare to die. I've said from the outset, I don't care about your life and the life of those around you. I don't really give a shit. The government is now about to announce what we call the final solution. We are inspired by history and realise we can very easily, permanently get rid of anybody thinking illegal thoughts. We aim to have absolutely zero freedom. Follow the rules or else you'll never be seen again. If you think you can live freely under our very strict and harsh regime, I have news for you. If you even consider breaking the rules, I will personally stab you in the head and rip your guts out. We have 24 hours surveillance of every single person in the community. We want to cause anguish, hurt and suffering to as many citizens as possible. Every day at 11 o'clock, every citizen in this state must listen to me. This is the Fourth Reich, and I will make sure that I never, ever, ever give up power till the day I die.
So, vacationing, that's your one joke. That's your one joke.
If we make another joke about my government, I'll be put on the persons of interest list.
Now, you didn't make that joke. I made that joke.
Technically, I think because you're having fun and by guilt through association, therefore I must be enjoying something as well, but I'm not meant to be having fun, so you've just fucked me. So stop having fun.
See, I was going to ask, does this mean that Australia is probably no longer the great vacation spot, you know, up there with Iran?
Don't. Yeah, do not come here ever again. Save your money. Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, apparently Iran was a fantastic vacation spot in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, Australia was a great place in the 90s, too. I hate being right. This is why I fucking live like I live, man. I've been living like a criminal for the last 20 years. You know, it's all justified now.
I mean, it really is. That's the crazy thing. It's like, you know, you look at this stuff 10 years ago and you're like, you're nuts. You look at it today and you're like, huh, you had a point.
Yeah. You know what? I was talking to Saad last week about hoarding a bit of extra food every now and then. And suddenly when he needed a bit of extra stuff, he had it on standby. Everyone calls you fucking crazy until they want to borrow something. You know, it's, you don't want to be right, because when you're right, shit is really going wrong. Because you don't prepare for the good times, do you?
Not generally, no.
No. And, you know, I don't want to be right. And today I'm right again. I've been right so many times this year. It's starting to get very fucking depressing that I'm fucking right. I don't know how they're going to enforce this stuff, man. But
get back into retro computers. They don't have enough horsepower to track you.
Dude, I'll go back out into the blue room. Okay. I'll go back out there. I don't need to be here. I'm here because I want to be here.
So, Madman, you have no idea what we're talking about, do you?
Oh, I know Down Under has locked down hard.
Oh, you're going to enjoy this.
Oh, they went crazy, man.
So, this is from The Guardian. Australian powers to spy on cybercrime suspects given the green light. Coalition bill to create powerful new warrants, allowing authorities to modify and delete data and even take over accounts, and it passed the Senate. This is the Australian Senate. A government bill to create new police powers to spy on criminal suspects online, disrupt their data, and take over their accounts. Suspects, not criminals, not convicted felons, suspects. That's important. Disrupt their data and take over their accounts has been passed with the support of Labor. The Identify and Disrupt bill passed the Senate on Wednesday, despite concerns about how the low bar of who can authorize a warrant and that the government failed to implement all of the safeguards recommended by the Bipartisan Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security. So, yeah, they apparently tried to put some limits in place on this thing, and the people passing the bill just went, nah, we'll just take the power. We'll just take the power.
We don't want those checks and balances. That's just a pain in the ass.
The bill creates three new types of warrants to enable the AFP and Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission to modify and delete data, take over accounts, and spy on Australians in networks suspected of committing crimes. Earlier in August, the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security, chaired by the Liberal Senator James Patterson, made a series of recommendations to improve oversight and safeguards. On Tuesday, the Home Affairs Minister, Karen Andrews, introduced amendments to implement some of the proposed safeguards, including a sunset clause so that the new powers would expire after 5 years and stronger criteria to issue warrants. Andrews said the amendments would mean data disruption warrants would need to be reasonably necessary and proportionate, and data disruption and account takeover warrants would need to specify the types of activities proposed to be carried out. These amendments weren't passed, by the way. These are the things they wanted to add to the bill. The media would also gain some extra protection with the addition of a, quote, public interest test for data disruption warrants, network activity warrants, and account takeover warrants where an investigation of unauthorized disclosure offense is in relation to a person working in professional capacity as a journalist, unquote, she said. The Independent National Security Legislation Monitor will review the bill after 3 years, and the PJCIS can review the bill after four. The Labor MP Andrew Giles told Lower House on Tuesday that the opposition supported the bill because, quote, the cyber capabilities of criminal networks have expanded, and we know that they are using the dark web and anonymous technology to facilitate serious crime, which is creating significant challenges for law enforcement. unquote. Giles noted that that Labor had called to raise the bar for the types of crimes that trigger the new powers from the current all Commonwealth offenses punishable by a maximum term of 3 years or more triggers the powers. Labor had called for that. I don't know that it got added. See, here's the thing, and that's what makes me mad about this story, is they're talking about all these things that people tried to get in there, and it's in the very beginning it said none of that stuff made it in there. So I don't know why they're talking about
any of it. Yeah, they're only talking about it because they know they're going to be held accountable one day.
So it sounds to me like they're trying to soft-pedal
it. All these people are committing political suicide. They just haven't realized it yet.
Yeah. Giles warned this meant that, quote, tax offenses, trademark infringement, and a range of other offenses, unquote, would enliven the powers, not just the offenses of child abuse and exploitation and terrorism the coalition used to justify the bill. So, yeah, this is the classic. They used, you know, child abuse and terrorism to pass through a crazy-ass law that's going to be used to go after people you don't like, political enemies, and, you know.
You want to hear a funny one, Whoops?
I thought you weren't allowed to do that, but okay.
Well, fuck it. I don't care. What are you going to do? Follow my mobile phone?
We tried that once. We ended up in Amsterdam. It's strange.
This weekend at the football, the Australian Federal Police will be putting a... what's that thing you take a photo of with your camera? The black square? The fuck is that shit
QR
called?
Code.
QR code. They're going to be putting a QR code up. That will take you to child exploitation material. Right?
What?
Yeah, exactly. Follow me here. And that's what everyone... Fucking what? You're going to give everybody access to child porn? No, not the pornography. Just a little snippet of a rug or a table. Something they're hoping will jog people's memory. You know, so they can help track down some of the victims of this. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and help.
No, I'd rather not. Thanks.
Yeah, because you know what you've done? You've just downloaded child exploitation material on your computer or on your phone. Even though they're saying it's okay, why do you have a fraction of that image? Where's the rest of the image, sir?
Well, I mean, that one's fairly easy. The QR code's been publicized. It's like, oh, I scanned the thing. But
you think that's going to fucking matter?
Probably not, given the law that they just passed. I'm thinking
hey,
more along the lines
say
of...
Joe Bloggs had child exploitation material on his phone.
They're
not going to say where he got it from. Hey, he got it from the football because he was encouraged by local authorities to help out in child exploitation. No, they're just going to announce this guy was arrested for child exploitation material.
Maybe.
Try walking back from that one.
Well, I mean, it's a whim law. If they've got somebody they really want to go after with that, they can. I don't think they'll go after just anybody who hits the QR code. But the thing is, what a QR code really is when it gets decoded is a URL. So what they're doing is they're saying, everyone go to this address on your phone. Now, if I was a Australian law enforcement agency that just got the power to do all kinds of, online viewing, and, oh, we can justify it. They all had, you know, a portion of child exploitative material on their phone, like you just said. Mm-hmm. That URL wouldn't just be a link to a picture. Oh, it would be installing so much shit on their mobile phones.
Oh, dude, it's fucking... They're crazy.
I'm sure it'll show a picture when it's done, but I bet it bounces through a few things before it does. If nothing else, it's going to log your user agent, your IMEI code, anything else that can pull JavaScript off your damn phone.
Yep.
That's what it's really going to do, is it's going to collect a whole shitload of data. That, and they're probably kind of hoping somebody's going to... No. Apple just announced that whole thing where they're they're kind of hoping somebody's got a similar picture that's going to get flagged.
Yes, you got there. I knew you'd get there.
Take over your cameras, people. Anyway, or, you know, don't click on QR codes provided by the government. What's the quote? We're from the government. We're here to help is the most terrifying thing you've ever heard.
Yeah, I wish they'd stop caring about my health at this point. I'm really sick of people trying to care for my health. Okay. It's my health. Fuck off.
You know, I used to be really excited about the prospect of Ghost in the Shell style, you know, prosthetic bodies. Nowadays, no, I'd rather not have one.
I did. I was all on board of the transhumanist movement until I met you.
I mean, I love the concept. I
always thought that was trash.
I loved the concept, but the way it's going to be implemented is all of your data, whether they intend it to or not.
Yep. Seriously, if you're an Australian, just put the phone down. It's time to stop. Just put it down.
In the Senate, the Greens and Rex Patrick resisted the bill, moving amendments to implement other PJCIS recommendations, including to not require the magistrates or judges, including to require that magistrates or judges would have to sign off on warrants, not just members of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. So they're going to let just any old clerk sign off on these things.
Yep, it's not going to be open for abuse whatsoever.
The Attorney General, Michelle Cash, rejected the proposal, arguing it would be a, quote, departure from longstanding government policy, quote, likely result in operational delays, and was inconsistent with other warrant powers. So any old clerk in Australia can sign a fucking warrant?
Well, yeah, that's what it reads like.
That's disturbing. You have to at least get, you have to at least, you know, bug a judge to get one signed over here.
Well, not if you're using the FISA powers.
Yeah, those are FISA judges. You still get a judge. The judge just doesn't necessarily tell you he's the judge. And unlike other warrants, there's no one there to argue they shouldn't get it.
Yeah, FISA is a bit of a nightmare.
That's a quagmire. Yeah.
In a second reading amendment, the Greens noted the bill, quote, rejects a core recommendation of the Richardson Review, unquote, for the legal framework of the intelligence community, which had found law enforcement agencies should not be given specific cyber disruption powers. I agree with that. You shouldn't write the law specific to the technology because the technology is going to be obsolete in 5 years anyways.
Shut up.
Okay.
Shut up.
The amendments were defeated, and the bill passed easily due to labor support. So all of those amendments, all of those limits they tried to put in on this, defeated, not in the bill.
But they didn't even argue against it. They all agreed because it's in all their benefit because they all think they're going to be in power.
Yeah. The Law Council president, Jacoba Brash, said, quote, the failure to implement the committee's recommendations that there be judicial issuing of the new extraordinary warrants is particularly disappointing. Yeah, standing over the burn pit as they throw in everyone who's ever said anything they didn't like, saying, this is disappointing.
I wish we didn't have to do this.
Quote, the Law Council believes the significant breadth and intrusive scope of these warrants demand consideration by judicial officers, as the PJCIS recommended. Kadrin Pender, the senior lawyer at Human Rights Law Center, told Australia or Guardian Australia, given the bill's powers are, quote, unprecedented and extraordinarily intrusive, they should have been narrowed to what is strictly necessary and subject to robust safeguards, unquote. This is just about being able to get in and dig through people's email and Facebook if they don't like. They're wanting to blackmail people they don't like. Let's be honest. That's what it really is.
Well, I mean, when they have an inquiry into child sexual abuse and allegations in this country, and they redact 25 fucking names of known pedophiles because, in the judiciary's own words, it would cause instability in the country's running. So there are people in extreme positions of power. They're not willing to remove them from those powers because it could cause the end of ordered society in Australia due to the crimes that they've committed. You have to wonder about transparency. You know what I mean? Like, who is these people in power? They've committed such horrendous crimes against children that we can't remove them because it would cause societal collapse in my country.
What I want to know is, what do these people think is going to happen with all these powers and warrants when the opposition political party gets in power? Because
there is no opposition.
There's not.
They are equal to the one party.
You don't have a conservative and a Labor. I know you have a Labor.
No, we have a consolidated Christian majority, and we have a communist lopping environmentalist party.
Well, I mean, so Labor,
they all want
this.
The exact same thing. They want absolute power and fucking control over everything the citizenry does. So we don't have any differences. They all want the exact same thing. It's absolute control of everything in your life.
But I bet the Christian party is going to have some different ideas of what they should be controlling versus the communists.
No, the Christian conservative in this country is what I started fighting in the late 80s, early 90s to get away from. Like, they are equally just as bad as the LARPing communist greenies.
Really wish these people's helicopter parents would have just let them play pretend in the backyard.
The problem is the government of today, Scott Morrison, you have to say it because you never know who's going to be leader tomorrow, is heavily infiltrated by Hillsong, you know, that mega church. I don't know if you know anything about Hillsong and Lakeside, the mega churches of America.
Joe
Osteen and those guys.
Yeah.
They're all up to real sketchy shit. That's who's in power. We have that church running everything right now.
I know a lot of people love Joel Osteen. I've always found him creepy as hell.
Yeah, he is creepy. Anyone with that sort of smile, you know, there's some fuckery going on. But yeah, any church where you need to have a credit check before you join, not a Christian church in my book, but that's just me. Both sides want the exact same power, absolute control over everything that we do. They've been wanting this for a long time. They were always going to get it. Peter Dutton did fantastic steps towards consolidating everything 4 years ago when he created the new Border Force Police out of nothing. Pretty much condensed a very large, very secretive police force the government can just wield whenever they want. They have like their anti-terrorism unit, stuff like that, people of interest unit, all different sorts. But it's just absolute power, man. That's what they're getting at. And they got it. They finally got it with this new warrant.
They're going to suspend elections next?
I don't see that just yet.
Okay.
I mean, maybe under public health.
I mean, that's the next step, isn't it?
It's sort of... Well, the next step is, I think, consolidating both the parties into one. But that'll be after a major national emergency. I think they'll suspend that and it'll become just the one party. But just to keep us safe, you know, it's for our own protection. You know, keep people safe. Well, yeah, if you're planning after all these lockdowns are finished to come to Australia, don't.
Well, speaking of your next national crisis, this one's from Independent Journal Review. You said Fox sent it to us, so thanks, Fox. Australia is testing the limits amid COVID, testing Orwellian new app to track people. One state in Australia is trying out a new way to curb the spread of COVID-19 by... should have kept the list of all the goofy names we came up with for it. You know, the great sneeze forward. Huh?
Sweet and sour sickness?
Sweet and sour sickness. Let's go with that one. One state in Australia is trying out a new way to curb the spread of the sweet and sour sickness by launching a new app designed to track residents to help enforce quarantine rules. According to The Atlantic's Connor Fredesdorf, Australia, once one of Earth's freest societies, unquote, until the coronavirus spread around the world, now it has become a hermit continent in a bid to prevent the spread of the virus. Freisendorf asked, how long can a country maintain emergency restrictions on its civilians' lives while still calling itself a liberal democracy? Australia has been testing the limits, he said. An Australian government website says, quote, Australia's borders are currently closed, and international travel from Australia means strictly controlled to help prevent the spread of the Great Sneeze Forward. Quote, international travel from Australia is only available if you are exempt or you have been granted an individual exemption, the website adds. Exempt. So what, give a lot of money to the right politician?
No, if you're a foreign Indian worker, you're exempt. And if you're a celebrity, you're exempt.
Sounds about right.
You think of legit?
Nope. Nope. I believe you. I fully expect it to be corrupt. I was just...
I mean, if I can get out, I'm going for asylum.
Friday's source notes that, quote, another government website dedicated to setting forth Australia's human rights treaty obligations says that the freedom to leave a country, quote, cannot be made dependent on establishing a purpose or reason for leaving. Aside from international travel, there are also restrictions on intrastate travel. As the Atlantic notes, the government of South Australia, one of the country's six states, developed and is now testing an app as Orwellian as any in the free world to enforce its quarantine rules. Quote, people in South Australia will be forced to download an app that combines facial recognition and geolocation. The state will text them at random times, and thereafter they will have 15 minutes to take a picture of their face in the location they are supposed to be. Should they fail, the local police department will be sent to follow up in person. We don't have to tell them how often or when on a random basis. They will have to reply within 15 minutes, Premier Stephen Marshall explained. Quote, I think every South Australian should feel pretty proud that we are a national pilot for the home-based quarantine app, Friesendorf added. Oh, my God. Not only are we going to invade and make you check in every 15 minutes to make sure you're not someplace you're not supposed to be, you should be proud of it.
Yeah, nice.
France, guillotine, just saying. Fuck.
It's really simple, dude. No. That's what you say, no. It's very simple.
Just what you need to do is get people to just, you know, start saying, I don't have a phone. Even if that means they are looking up from their Facebook post on their, you're scrolling their feed on their fucking device, say, no, I don't have a phone, and keep walking.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're holding one in your hand and talking on it. I don't care if you're sitting there saying, hang on, I got to tell this government official to kiss my ass. No, I don't have a phone. Then put the phone back up, continue your conversation, and keep going.
Oh, dude, you know what? You just don't reply, and fuck it. What are they going to do? If you're an Australian male right now, consider yourself dead. Because the only thing they can do is kill you now. They've taken everything else. So just say fucking no, and know you're already dead. There's nothing they can do. Once you accept that you are dead, you are free.
Victory brings life.
You're not. What? I know no one's following my logic, but I.
Oh no, I'm following your logic. It's Jim Bernard, Deep Space Nine.
No. There was this cameraman in the Vietnam War, and he thought he was just going to take photos, and they said, "No, you're going to carry a fucking gun." He goes, "Well, I'm not going to shoot it." And when the shooting broke out, he dropped his gun, jumped in a hole, and then he realized that it just being in a hole doesn't make it stop. People are still shooting. Either fucking shoot back or decide you're already dead. He goes, fuck it, I'm already dead, and just stood it up and started taking photos. And that's how he overcame his fear. And I'd like to think, you know, when they come to my house to go, you must do this, I'll just go, no. What are they going to do? Beat me to death? Or lock me up? They're still not making me take the fucking selfie, are they?
They might. Yeah, the selfie is going to be the cops propping your unconscious body up on the couch.
What does it matter, man? They're already taking everything else.
I mean, but that's the thing. If the government is going to go to violent enforcement of this kind of totalitarian bullshit,
They opened fucking fire on unarmed protesters who weren't... And I don't mean American peaceful protests. You know, I'm talking about people carrying banners singing Kumbaya, they fucking opened up with rubber bullets.
Oh, those are those photos you were showing us.
Yeah.
I didn't know they fired on them. That's what I mean.
If every Australian male hasn't thought about it by now and already realized you're dead, there's nothing else they can take from you now but your life. They come in and take your fucking family. Because, oh, you're a person of the cuddly name they've put on it. But you're at risk of not complying in the future. Come on, come with me, because you may not comply in the future. So why comply now? I just don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm not going to comply. I don't give a fuck. What are they going to take from me? My life? Ooh, I'm already a fucking cripple. Can't make it any fucking worse. Prison, fuck, I'll make some new friends. Hell, I'll get a degree in whatever they're doing in there. Australian prisons aren't inmate versus inmate. Australian prisons are inmates versus the state. And the state has to be exceptionally polite to people.
I don't know, dude. I don't know what else to say to it because this is insane.
We can't get out. We can't leave. We can't even leave the fucking state. What more can they take from you? There's nothing more at this point. Ooh, gonna take my freedom. They've already taken it. I can't fucking leave. Ooh, they let you out of the house for 1 hour a fucking day. Oh, that's good. I hear you can walk around the fucking prison yard all day if you feel like it.
I'm just gonna say that Android has these apps that when you kick it in developer mode, let you fake your GPS. And if you scrub the metadata from one selfie, I don't know what's stopping you from sending the same selfie in over and over again. You think these guys are really going to check?
But I mean, it'll only take 100 people not replying. What are they going to do? Send 100 different cop cars out all at once within 15 minutes to get all these people? Good luck.
The problem is I could see the people in charge saying, yeah, we'll just send all the cops out. Of course, yeah, you know, well, when the actual cops show up, they're going to be like, you what? But I can see the dumbasses in charge thinking, oh, yeah, we'll just send every cop we got out. We'll just round everybody up. It's like, you do realize that stops working at a point, right? It's about 20%, isn't that what we agreed on yesterday?
Pretty much it.
Usually takes about 20% to overthrow anything. Because you got to realize most humans are sheep. The reason this could work is how many people are going to comply.
Madman, I don't want violence. I just don't want people to comply. Let the state create the violence. Because that's the only thing they can do. Once you say no, they have to hit you. No is the most violent word in the world. Because once I tell you no, I'm not doing it. And I know, because I've had trouble with that word all my fucking life. Yeah. I'm not someone who will do something just because I've been told to do it. Never worked like that. That's why I had so much trouble growing up. I won't comply. If I don't want to do it, I'm not going to fucking do it.
Oh, that's the next story.
Yeah, that's the next. I'm prepping for the next story, but I was going to give space in case you had anything else there, Madman. You've been quiet.
Make a change. Eventually, it's going to turn violent. The history of nonviolent movements, they'll get coverage. But what succeeds are the people willing to stand up and say, okay, can't beat that guy because he's standing at the lunch counter. So it doesn't always take a government to change a rule of using the civil rights movement in the U.S. But the nonviolent action, that was great because it got publicity, and it turned the class that was wanting to change the law into the victims. But it was the people coming up and saying, stop that, or we're going to hang you by the neck until dead, that changed things.
I mean, some of that's already happened with these rules. Like the killing of children because they can't cross borders and stuff like that. That garnished enough fucking hate and rage that they had to start letting kids cross the border for fucking health treatment. you know, you can only let a certain amount of infants die before the country gets a little outraged. The problem is having a media class who've got the balls to fucking report this, but as of the first story we just did, the media falls under these laws. So they don't get to just print whatever they want now. They can be fucked for these WIM laws as well.
And so the essentially, way they go is just keep printing.
Well, let's hope. Yeah, Murdoch has a dubious track record, but I mean, if we could go back to Murdoch's original inception when he started writing newspapers here in Australia, he held the Crown's feet to the fire and got a fair shake for Australian soldiers. Hell, he was one of the big implementers to help us take charge of our own soldiers instead of just being cannon fodder for the British. I don't know, man. Maybe the press will rise up, but
I
can't see it. And that's why I just say, everybody just say no.
Well,
they can only kill us.
Well, enough people do.
Yeah.
I mean you might not get the official government-sanctioned press to sign stand up, but I mean, you know, we can be delusional here for a minute and say maybe you'll have enough small independent people doing shit like what we're doing to get the word out.
They're gonna go hard on the first couple of people.
Yeah,
they're gonna go hard. They're gonna perp walk them. They're gonna shame them. They're gonna lie about them. They're gonna really punish the first couple of people that stand up and say no. Just frighten the living fuck out of the rest of them. Because they tried doing it with friendly Geordies. But he said no. And now they're fucking really embarrassed. Because people are laughing at them. So, yeah. Don't fight back. Just say no. They can't jail us all. They'll have to start killing us eventually.
Laugh at them too if you can. They
exactly, man. But, yeah, don't. And I know what you're saying, madman. Violence, blah, blah, blah. But. I'm not down for a revolution or anything. I just don't comply. It's not a law hurting other people. If I'm not hurting other people, it shouldn't be a law.
Well, the question is, how many people are going to not comply? Because that's where the sheep thing comes in.
That's the hard part. And I can only do my part, madman. And I'm going to be saying no. If I'm the only one, then be it. If I go missing, you know where I've gone?
Man barricades himself in his own home. He's unarmed and has no hostages. Nobody cares.
He's unarmed, smoking and drinking, and singing sea shanties.
He's on his 18th rendition of Louie Louie.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's appeared in his underwear. He's waving to the press.
So there I was in the window, tallywhacker hanging out of my box of shorts, waving at the press.
I mean, dude, I'm not going to be the only one who says no.
Well, I mean, that's what you need to have happen, right? Is you need enough people to just say, no, fuck off. This is stupid. Maybe laugh at them a little bit. It's like, oh my God, you people are stupid.
Yeah.
To just, well, one, embarrass them. But two, I mean, even if it's quiet and enough of it's quiet, you know, see how many of them really beat somebody and drag people out of their home for saying fuck you. And I mean, because that'll get noisy real quick.
They tried to keep their little hidden prison a secret. That didn't last long. Everybody was talking about that.
It did a lot of good it did of all these lockdowns.
But dude, as I said, I don't know what can be done about it. This is my game plan is no. I already don't have a phone. I don't have Facebook or any of that shit. What are they going to do? Force me to have it? Force me to fucking get a Facebook? I'll fucking force you.
Be like Idiocracy. They stick your arm in the thing, tattooed a barcode on it.
Yeah, at that point, that's violence. Violence begets violence. I mean, they're going to do something. Someone's going to get very badly hurt. And they're going to have to walk this shit back. Because they're going to kill a kid. That's what's going to happen. There'll be some 16-year-old kid full of fucking, just total fucking smart ass, you know, He's going to mouth off to the wrong cop. The wrong cop's just going to fucking shoot him. That's how it's going to happen. Some mouthy kid. I know, because I would have been that mouthy kid.
You're going to die, clown! Wait,
I like that one. And on that note, I'm going to have a cigarette because my blood's boiling.
All right.
Better calm down a little bit.
Well, we'll do this with VPNs in India story.
Awesome.
Here.
Thank you.
So the next one is from NDTV, gadgets.ndtv.com. The Parliamentary Standing Committee on Home Affairs has once again urged the government to block virtual private networks in India. They must not understand how almost all companies do security. Considering how many Indians do contract work and outsource work for American companies. The committee chair cited VPN services as a technological challenge that lead to, quote, bypassing cybersecurity walls and allowing criminals to remain anonymous online, unquote. It is in its report presented to Raja Sabha regarding the government action on previous concerns. The committee again recommended developing a, quote, coordination mechanism in collaboration with international agencies to block VPNs permanently. It also asked the Ministry of Home Affairs to strengthen the tracking and surveillance mechanisms to put a check on the use of VPN and the dark web. As per the report that was first brought into notice by Medianama, the committee recommended the Home Ministry to work with the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology to identify and permanently block VPNs with the help of internet service providers in the country. I don't know that it would be the help of. I would say you'd be forcing them to do it. The recommendations by the Parliamentary Committee come 1 month after the Department of Telecommunications scrapped the earlier regulations for IT business and call centers in the country to ease the usage of VPNs. The government further simplified the rules in June this year. The recent moves were essentially aimed to help employees work remotely amid COVID-19. Titled Action Taken by the Government on Recommendations, Observations contained in the 233rd Report on the Atrocities and Crimes Against Women and Children. There's a title. The report was submitted to the Rajya Sabha on August the 10th. It is the follow-up of the earlier report that was tabled in March and is also available for public access through the Rajya Sabha portal. Meti responded to the report through the committee is reportedly not satisfied with the response. The IT ministry has mentioned various powers under which the government can block information from public access, including, quote, interest of sovereignty and integrity of India, defense of India, security of the state, friendly relations with foreign states or public order, and for preventing incitement and to the commission of any recognizable offense related above. Wow. I mean, I don't know what else to say to that. Just fucking wow. These people are terrified.
You can still just connect to a VPN outside of your country.
Well, they probably want to block it at the protocol level by ISPs. You know, it's like they detect you. But the thing is, so many VPNs use the exact same technology as a secure web page. You're basically banning encryption in India. That's what you're doing if you want to block VPNs. You have to ban encryption.
I will never
encryption.
Do the needful again. If this passes, I might never do the needful again, Morris.
I mean, we wouldn't be able to have any of our Indian contractors. I don't know about you. It's like your country doesn't allow us to use a secure connection. Our government requires us to use secure connections for this information. I'm sorry, we have to cancel all of your contracts because your government is stupid.
I'll be able to read American English again. Exclusively.
I'm not going to have to sit here and figure out how to pronounce all these names.
Oh. I will only know one Hajib. Hi, Patel. How's life? Oh, it's dead.
Oh, in addition to the blockage of VPNs, the Standing Committee recommends the government to set up more cyber forensics laboratories. It also urged the Home Ministry to, quote, empower all state police and law enforcement agencies to take appropriate action regardless of state boundaries when examining a cybercrime. Yeah, so, oh, because a computer was involved, you don't have to worry about jurisdictional boundaries. Fuck
no,
you.
They're just making all cops national.
I mean,
that's what they're doing. There's a lot of countries already have that, and have had that for a while.
The response here is fuck you. Just fuck you. That's what this is. It's we want to monitor everything you do online. We're going to outlaw any technology that would allow you to not be monitored, and we're going to make it so that the police can do whatever the hell they want in you know, pursuance of a cybercrime. Fuck off.
What do my country do now?
It's not your country. No. It's India.
It's India. They're nationalizing their police force effectively.
They want to nationalize the police force and ban VPNs.
India is a big country.
Well, I'm just thinking.
A lot of people.
Given how much of their country is reliant on doing remote contract IT work, banning of VPNs is a problem because of so many to meet security regulations, especially for industry, like, say, financial, banking, and medical industries, you have to use a VPN.
You got to understand, India has a track record of cutting its nose off to spite its face. Look at its textile industry.
That's not just the nose. That's going to be the whole fucking head.
Yeah, but they're known for doing stuff like that. They have enough people that it doesn't really... They're not interested in lifting everybody out of poverty. They're only interested in lifting the top castes out.
Yeah, I do forget that they use a caste system.
It's a very heavy caste system, so... Yeah, you won't affect the top couple of castes. It'll just stop the lower castes from being able to advance in society. That's what they're trying to do.
Trying to
cut advancement.
Yeah, and I've had to deal with a lot of Indian contractors lately. And, you know, we did have this interesting thing... Which you had to kind of help explain to me, and actually some people I worked with explained to me too, that you know, we had a couple of Indian guys on an interview, and they said no, we don't want you to hire this guy, and apparently other people knew what was going on. I didn't. I'm like, no, he seems like a good fit for the job. I mean, accent's a little thick, but you know, seemed like a good fit for the job. And they're like, no, you can't hire him.
Yeah.
Why not? You just can't. And a few other people had to explain, oh, yeah, must be a caste thing. And they ultimately didn't hire the person because they thought it would be awkward to deal with that. It was just one of those, we're just going to avoid the issue.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, I mean, it wasn't really for my team. I was just helping out on a technical advisory, so. Okay. Not
it
really
sucks
okay,
if you're in the
but,
bottom costs, but...
I mean, it's one of those things if it's like, is this really where I need to push on something? No. I mean, you know, you ask a few other people about it, and they're like, yeah, it's just, you know, you could say something about it, but it would probably turn into more of a headache than it's worth.
Whoops, it's not your fight. It's their fight.
Well, there's that too.
It's, and that's not being callous about it, but it's their problem. We don't need to be dictating internal policy to them.
This guy was one of the first ones when we were interviewing for that position. When I asked questions, I didn't hear them furiously Googling in the background.
But that one of their fight. That's their fight, you know.
Yeah.
Like this censorship thing. This is our fight. You know, the Americans and that shouldn't get in on it. We need to fix it ourselves.
Well, it kind of depends on that caste thing. Because it's not just remote workers that's affecting that. It's Indian immigrants here, and when it's here, it is our fight. They've moved to this country, they've said they're Americans, and that comes with certain responsibility. One is, we are all equal before the law. E pluribus unum. You cease being who you were, and you are now American. There aren't Indians, there aren't Welsh, there aren't Scottish, they're American.
But if they're on a visa program, that's what I was talking about, the visa program thing. That's where I was talking.
If they're a visa and they're here physically, then yeah, they need to give that up. They are in America. You do. When in Rome, live as the Romans. Now, if it's we're interviewing these remote workers and they're all in India, well, then, yeah, you're going to have to adapt to whatever India does. You're hiring Indians in India. But if you bring them over here, yeah, you can expect them to acculturate. And if they don't, then they are the problem.
All right, we're chipping in at Christmas time for WD-40 for Morps for that chair.
I fucking hate this chair. I've got a new one ordered. As soon as it shows up, I'm sorry about it. This chair pisses me the hell off. This one's only a year old. This has been the worst fucking chair. Do not. You know what? Hang on. I'm going to go in my damn purchase history. I'm going to tell you the brand name. Don't buy this brand.
I don't know more. Madman.
Sadie. Don't buy a fucking Sadie chair. It's from the Han store. But yeah, so I thought this thing would be decent because it was a $300 chair that was on sale. No, don't buy the fucking chair.
There's a reason it was on sale.
Yeah. Gets noisy in the padding and it sucks too. So, like I said, I've got a much better chair coming, but I ordered one of the Secret Labs chairs. I probably spent too much money on it, but it really well reviewed. And yes, I pre-ordered one with the fucking Batman logo on it because I could.
I mean, I can't seem to break mine in. It's been a year and a half and it still won't retain.
Having a hard time getting that butt shape into it?
Yeah, I'm really, really having, especially for my back.
Oh, yeah.
It's got like a couple of lumbar support things that are padded a little bit too much. And I'm trying to break that in, and it's pissing me off.
See, this chair has a lumbar support in it. I can put my hand back there and feel it. But if I sit in the chair to actually use the lumbar support, one, it makes the chair loud as hell. But two, the piston, it'll activate the piston, and I will sink. So I hate this fucking chair.
Anyway.
Bitcoin story. This one's from Ars Technica. Coinbase erroneously reported two-factor authentication changes to 125,000 customers. Whoops! Cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase sent an automated message to a large number of its customers on Friday saying, quote, your two-step verification settings have been changed. And if you're not expecting this, you think your account just got hacked, right? Unfortunately, the message was sent in error. By Coinbase's count, 125,000 of these messages were sent via SMS and email to customers whose two-factor authentication settings had, in fact, not changed.
Oopsie doopsie.
Whoopsie doodle. According to Coinbase's own acknowledgement Saturday, its system began sending the erroneous messages at 1:45 p.m. Pacific time on Friday and kept sending them until the error was mitigated, not fixed, mitigated, i.e. somebody went in there and yanked a fucking Ethernet cable on their mail server at 3:07 p.m. In the Twitter thread, Coinbase acknowledges the mistaken two-factor authentication message's potential for confusion. Confusion which retiree Don Preedle told CNBC led him to panic sell more than $60,000 worth of cryptocurrency. Preedle was holding on this large wallet as an investment for his grandson, so the panic sale may have been as much of a blessing as a curse, as he now questions whether cryptocurrency was a safe investment in the first place. No, cryptocurrency is a speculative investment, and again, don't keep your crypto in the exchange. Get a hardware wallet, put your crypto in a wallet you control. I think I've said this every show for a year now. Don't keep your crypto money in the exchanges. Set up your own wallets, buy a hardware token, or at the very least get like a Raspberry Pi or an old laptop, set up your wallets on that, and then shut the thing off and set it to the side when you're not using it.
This has been your crypto warning for this week.
I'm just saying. I've had a story about people losing money in cryptocurrency exchanges every show for several months now. Don't do it. Don't keep your money in the crypto wallet, in the exchanges. keep your money in a wallet that you have taken steps to ensure is secure. And if that means spending a few minutes reading about how cryptocurrency works or watching a fucking YouTube video so that you can pick out a decent hardware token or at least how to handle a software wallet so that it can be done safely, I mean, buy a flipping Raspberry for God's sake and put your wallets on it so that you can unplug it and put it on the shelf when you're not using it. Offline and inaccessible unless you need it for a transaction. That is the correct way to handle a cryptocurrency wallet. Because that way, if you get a keylogger because you clicked the wrong fucking link in Facebook, you don't lose all your damned cryptocurrency. Or if the exchange gets hacked, you don't lose all your damn cryptocurrency. Because an exchange is not a bank. They're not FDIC insured. If I have all of my crypto sitting in Coinbase, and Coinbase tomorrow says, oh, we're out of money, we're shutting down, bye. You think I'm going to have a shot at retrieving any of my crypto? I might go in and request to send the money out of my crypto wallet onto something else. But you think they're actually going to do it? It'll cause a run. They're going to be out of crypto long before they've actually satisfied everything they're supposed to be holding, let alone money. I've made this speech too many times. You guys aren't saying anything.
No need to add anything, man.
Coinbase said that the erroneous two-factor authentication messages were a result of an internal error, not hacker activity. Quote, all of a sudden, the system just started sending stuff, like a bug in the system, unquote. Okay.
Cool.
Computers don't do anything all of the sudden. Something triggered it, okay?
All of a sudden, my AR-15 unloaded into a parked bus full of school kids.
And all of a sudden, monkeys started flying out of my ass.
Whoever wrote this is a retard.
Coinbase spokesperson Andrew Schmidt told CNBC, adding, it was not a malicious or third-party error. Although Coinbase tweeted that it's laser-focused on building trust and security into the crypto community, panic among its infected consumer base is understandable. In addition to a general history of hacked cryptocurrency exchanges, including Bitfloor, Mt. Gox, Bitfinex, Coincheck, Quadra CX, technically not a hack, and KuCoin. Coinbase itself has a bad reputation for its response to customers who have been hacked individually. Most large financial institutions carry cyber fraud insurance policies that will cover hacked checking or savings account. Quote, if you are victimized through cyber theft by no fault of your own, most large banks will make you whole, unquote. Bankrate.com CFA Greg McBride told USA Today, and that's true. I have multiple people in our regular group who work at large financial institutions. I've seen and had my name on some of this paperwork. Madman, I don't know that you've seen the paperwork, but I'm sure you know it exists.
Yes.
Actually, you have probably seen the paperwork now that I think about it. I mean, yeah, it's, and there are other people we know who also work in these institutions. Almost all of the large banks, they've been covering credit card fraud for years. Why would getting your account hacked be any different? Same is not true of Coinbase, which recently told one hacked customer that, quote, there is no credible or supportable evidence that the compromise of your login credentials was the fault of Coinbase. As a result, Coinbase is unable to reimburse you for your alleged losses, unquote. Don't keep your crypto in Coinbase. Don't keep it in any exchange. Don't trust the exchanges. When you want to do business and you want to do it through an exchange, transfer your crypto into the exchange, do the transaction, do the sale, do whatever it is you're doing, or buy your crypto if you're buying it, then move it out as soon as you can into a wallet you control. Don't leave it sitting on their servers. In addition to a strict your hack is your problem policy, Coinbase has repeatedly been accused of slow response to serious customer problems. The Twitter thread in which it announced the erroneous message was quickly devoted to users complaining of poor customer service regarding wallets that had been locked for weeks or months. I'm just saying. Most of these exchanges aren't banks. Banks have a lot of work they have to do to qualify as a bank, and most of them are insured such that if they lose your account, you will be made whole. Most cryptocurrency exchanges are ran by a handful of people, most of them online only, and it's going to be dubious at best. I'm not saying they're bad companies. I'm not saying these people have ill intent, but every one of these startup online companies is following the fucking Google model of customer service, which is automate everything and never, ever, ever give anyone a phone number to actually call and yell at you. Make their system impossible to navigate and make it damn near impossible to reach a real person when something doesn't work. And hope the automated systems handle everything. I mean, hope they handle everything. Almost all of these companies follow that model. And it means good luck getting something fixed if it's wrong.
I know the NASDAQ was talking about trading crypto for a bit. Do you think one of the more legitimate exchanges moving in would help solidify the market a bit?
It might, because now you've got an entity that's got a reputation on the line. And I'm not saying Coinbase and other exchanges don't have a reputation.
Now, it's still not going to be insured because it's still not a bank. It is still an exchange.
Yeah, I'd like to see... I don't want to encourage regulatory action, but at the same time, if you want these exchanges to have the protection of banks, they have to be treated like banks.
Well,
and I don't want to advocate for that, but you are dealing with large financial transactions. Most of them probably fit the definition of a fintech anyways, so they probably should be subject to some of these rules.
Well, being subject to some trading rules, perhaps, but they're not actually acting like a bank. They're acting like a commodities exchange. And if you lose $1 million on the Chicago Commodities Exchange, there's no one giving that back to you.
Okay, you know what, Madman? You're absolutely correct. The companies are acting like exchanges because they are exchanges. But people are treating them like banks.
That would be the ignorance of the consumer at that point.
And that's why that's why I keep saying, don't keep your damned crypto in the exchanges. Unless you're actively using it in the exchange, I guess.
Wait for a bank to move into that and actually make profit. We always think of banks as just holding currency, but traditionally banks have held all kinds of shit.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Because how do most banks? Okay, well, most banks use your deposit as investments, and that's how they pay for your interest, and that's how they pay for their services. But if you know there are accounts that they charge you to hold,
yeah, so it's like a safety deposit box.
I could easily see
you could do like a digital safety deposit box at a bank.
Well, I mean, you could do a digital wallet. You could do a digital crypto wallet at the bank. The problem is most banking websites are less secure than most gaming websites, so I don't know that I trust them to do that. It's like when Blizzard had better fucking security than most banking web pages.
Hey, for a while, my World of Warcraft account was valuable. Yeah. I should have sold it.
Those days are over. WoW's population is apparently a third of what it once was. So, I've got nothing else on this other than I can sit here and complain about how people handle their Bitcoin all day long. I mean, but
next story.
Did you have anything on that?
No, I'm good.
All right. Next one up is from the BBC. RU did send me this link, but I had already had it when he sent it to me. Investigations into hacked map of UK gun owners. Gun-selling website GunTrader announced a data breach affecting more than 100,000 customers in July. This week, reports emerged that an animal rights activist activist blog had published the information. The group had formatted the data so it could be easily imported into mapping software to show individual homes. The National Crime Agency, which has been investigating the data breach and its fallout, said it, quote, is aware that the information has been published online as a result of a recent data breach, which has impacted GunTrader, unquote. Quote, we are working closely with the Southwest Regional Cybercrime Unit, who are leading the criminal investigation, to support the organization and manage any risk, it said. And data regulator, the Information Commissioner's Office, also said it was aware of a potential change in the GunTrader LTD incident, adding, we will be making inquiries. Yeah, everybody's saying we're looking into it. There's no actual anything coming about out of it. And it's Britain, right? They don't like guns, so I can see them not exactly, you know, moving quickly on this. In its initial statement in July, GunTrader said no information about the location of the firearms was taken, but acknowledged that usernames and addresses had. The company said it had nothing to add in response to the latest development beyond saying that we continue to work with relevant authorities to mitigate the impact of the data theft. The existence of the new map format was first reported by tech news site The Register, which characterized it as the worst-case scenario following the initial hack. In July, one gun owner told the BBC he feared that the leak could put his family in danger, particularly from criminals. While the leaked data had previously been published in the dark web, the latest development was published online and easily accessible to anyone, and reformatted so it could be easily imported into Google Maps. Doing so would give precise geographic coordinates for many, but not all, of the more than 100,000 people in the database, the Register suggested. The GunTrader data leak represents not only a serious breach of privacy, but also poses a physical threat, said Attila Tomaszczuk of the pro-privacy group. The animal rights activist posting the data claimed without any accompanying evidence that the vast majority of gun owners kill animals and sometimes go on to kill humans. Well, fuck you.
I know that second part's crap. And I would like to think there's an avid hunting culture everywhere. Animals are tasty.
Impede his murder. Quick, eat the evidence. Mr. Tomaszczuk said the group's post amounted to calling on others to confront the victims of the breach. Those with firearms must now remain vigilant, as it may only be a matter of time before the information is used by opportunistic criminals looking for the weapons, he warned. In addition to concerns about harassment or theft, some of the data may not be accurate. Some of the data is reportedly over 5 years old, meaning that a number of the addresses likely no longer even belong to the gun owners included in the leak, and putting an even greater number of individuals at risk. So, this is both the nightmare scenario for a gun owner database and, you know, about the worst thing that could come of a breach where you're going to have
to go collect some guns have some free guns because now I know where the guns are. And if I need a gun, break into that person's house and take their gun.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, the British cops are only policing pronouns now.
Well, and the way if you're complying with the British firearms regulations, they can't be stored loaded. The ammunition has to be locked separately from the gun. You have to have two safes, one for the gun, one for the ammo. So if somebody's breaking into your house, do you really think they're going to they're going to wait where you say, hang on, I got to punch in two codes and load the gun? Although
that's the law here, but I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 gun owners, they have their compliance firearms in one and their compliance ammunition in another one, but they have something close to hand just in case.
Well, that's the other thing, right? If you know somebody's a gun owner, is it really the wisest thing to break into their house? But
if you call the pronoun police on them, the pronoun police will come take them away and, you know, ask them some questions down the station why you misgendered that tranny. That gives you the perfect cover to go in and steal his shit, right?
Yeah.
And anonymous tip, that's all it takes. That man misgendered me.
And, you know, given how hot politics has gotten around some of this shit, could somebody lose their job for being a gun owner? Maybe.
Yeah. In this climate, they could. They won't tell them that's why they're losing their job, but
Not to mention, you know, maybe, you know, they're talking about criminals wanting to steal the guns. What about just activists wanting to, you know, harass anyone who they disagree with?
Yeah.
Try to provoke
them. That's all par for the course now, man.
Worse, try to provoke them into brandishing the gun so they can then, you know, get them charged and get them arrested because they happen to own a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you got enough people on your lawn throwing shit at your windows and you have a gun.
You don't brandish, you shoot.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean,
idiots brandish firearms. People that know what they're doing fire firearms.
If someone shows you the knife before you're about to have a fight, nine times out of ten, they won't use it. It's that one time, though.
Well, they're hoping by showing the knife they won't have to.
Exactly. That's how you get stabbed. Twice.
All right. Last story. This is from Bleeping Computer. It's kind of a no-duh. Fired New York credit union employee nuked 21 gigs of data in revenge.
What sort of data?
Mortgage contracts, financial documents.
That's more than stealing the printer as you're escorted out of the building.
It's like, what are you doing? Pocketing a few pins. Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah. That's if they didn't have backup, holy shit, that's a worry.
With mortgage documents, that's probably the least damaging thing you can delete because those have to be recorded at your county registered.
Yeah.
So if you want to really hurt a bank, you don't go after the mortgage documents. You go after checking account balances.
Well, this was a credit union, so let me read the article here, and we'll see what you think. Juliana Braille, the former employee of a New York credit union, pleaded guilty to accessing the financial institution's computer systems without authorization and destroying over 21 gigabytes of data in revenge for after being fired. Quote, in an act of revenge for being terminated, Barley Braille, B-A-R-I-L-E. I don't know how you'd say that. I'm going to say Barley, I guess. Surreptitiously accessed the computer system of her former employer, a New York credit union, and deleted mortgage loan applications and other sensitive information maintained in its file server, acting U.S. Attorney Jacqueline M. Clausius said. According to court documents, the defendant worked remotely as a part-time employee for the credit union until May 19th, 2021, when she was fired. Even though a credit union employee asked the bank's information technology support firm, so they didn't do their own, they had a contractor, to disable Barley's remote access credentials, the access was not removed. 2 days later, on May the 21st, Barley logged in for roughly 40 minutes. The defendant deleted over 20,000 files and around 3,500 directories during that time, totaling roughly 21.3 gigabytes of data stored in the bank's shared drive. The wiped included files related to customers' mortgage loan applications and the financial institution's anti-ransomware protection software. Really? She deleted the anti-ransomware protection software?
Well played.
Besides deleting documents with customer and company data, Barley also opened various confidential Word documents, including files containing board minutes for the credit union. 5 days later, on May the 26th, she told a friend via text message how she was able to destroy thousands of documents on her former employee's servers, or saying, they didn't revoke my access, so I deleted PDrift, lol. Deleted their shared network documents.
Well, there's your third mistake.
Right?
Bragging about it.
Although the New York credit union had backups of some of the data deleted by the defendant, it still had to spend more than $10,000 to restore the destroyed data following Barley's unauthorized intrusion. Miss Barley may have thought she was getting back at her employer by deleting files. However, she did just as much harm to customers, FBI Assistant Director in Charge Driscoll added. Her petty revenge not only created a huge security risk for the bank, but customers also depending on paperwork and approvals to pay for their homes were left scrambling. So it wasn't completed mortgages, Madman. It was the applications.
Yeah, that's a dick fucking move. Because they only have so many days to get those done before they have to start all over. And I don't know if they would count this as bank error, so the customers could be out all of the finance fees and then still have to start over.
M.
Yeah, at that point, they're left suing the credit institution for not doing their job. But, I mean, yeah, it's pretty shit. So, and again, this is a classic example. You know, when you fire somebody, get their accounts turned off that day. Preferably as you're walking them out the door, if it's a hostile termination. If it's a friendly termination, you know, somebody's leaving on good terms, you know, wait till the end of the day. You know, that way they can go get their emails. They can send that, you know, the goodbye email with the, you know, sad Hulk or Incredible Hulk walking away song linked into it. You know, shit like that. We had somebody do that. It was funny. But if it's not an amicable termination, you turn off their accounts before they've left the building.
You turn off their accounts when you've decided to terminate them.
Exactly. Yes. The moment you've decided this is going to happen and you're informing them, you turn their shit off. The only thing you don't want to do is give them any heads up that you're about to do it because you don't know what they're going
to
do.
I wouldn't even wait until you inform them. When you decide to terminate them, turn their shit off.
That's what I'm saying. When you're processing the termination. The only thing you don't, I mean, if you're going to fire somebody for something of cause, you're going to know that pretty fucking quick, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to hem and haw about it for a week. You're going to terminate. If you're going to terminate somebody, turn off their accounts, walk them out the door.
Like, you were fired for trying to forge a magic sword out of sporks in the break room trash can.
And while we applaud the ingenuity of making a mold out of, you know, trays you found in the lunchroom, the smell was horrific.
And it seems it's an OSHA violation. Dear God.
We never thought our financial institution would ever see a industrial fabrication OSHA violation, but here we are.
I warned management this day would come.
One thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo. This is from highon.coffee, which I applaud their URL. I find that quite amusing. This is a SSH lateral movement cheat sheet. So I should explain a little bit. This article is written from the perspective of someone attacking a system that they just got remote shell into, and they're assuming it's a Linux system that's running SSH. So this details all the shit you should look for in an SSH system that you can abuse to further move around the inside of a network. So SSH, you know, how to search for files and, you know, the normal places for SSH keys to be. Cracking SSH key passphrases. Apparently it's built into John the Ripper these days. It's been a bit since I used the program. I didn't know that. And apparently some older versions of SSH actually have backdoors on the passphrases. It also talks about getting into the SSH agent forwarding and how to abuse that. So SSH agent is kind of this helper program that you can use for various means of automating SSH connections, for moving files around, running automated commands, scripts, that kind of thing. So this details how to hijack it so that you can then use that to further infiltrate a network. The nice thing about this spreadsheet is, even though, sure, it's written with the idea of you're a bad guy, you've just gotten in, here's all the other shit you could look for, you can take this same approach as a defender, saying, okay, let's do our tabletop exercise. This box just got compromised. Let's run through this cheat sheet. What all else could they get to from the compromise of this box? So if you're building an SSH system for, you know, a corporate network, generally what you want to do is you want to have one jump host that actually has, you know, you can actually get into from, you know, your internal network or your approved client list or however you're whitelisting, so that only, you know, approved areas can actually SSH into your servers. And then, you know, you want to make all the rest of them, you have to get to them from, you know, an approved jump host, preferably having the keys only on the jump host that you also rotate on a regular basis, say once every 6 months, once a year is usually good for SSH keys. They're pretty complex. Unless you have any reason to suspect anyone has compromised it, or if you just had a sysadmin leave. You should probably rotate your SSH keys every time you have a sysadmin leave. Just saying. Excuse me. But
especially if they leave on bad terms.
Yeah, especially if they leave on bad terms. I may or may not have had a backup of several of the SSH keys for years, just in case. actually, that was kind of funny. I worked with the new companies, with some of my colleagues in the new company. It's like, so I've got this encrypted flash drive that's got a whole bunch of shit about the old company servers on it. What do you guys want to do with this? Because it doesn't really fit at all policy-wise anymore. It's a fairly robust one, but what do you want to do? So we actually went through the process of, okay, I've got all this shit on a flash drive. I've got old SSH keys. I've got a bunch of the password backups from before they were, literally they were just told me to back them up in whatever way you think is best. Okay.
Oh, that's terrible.
Can we pay for something? No. Okay. I happen to have one of those little Corsair encrypted flash drives, like 16 gig with the keypad on it. I bought it because I thought it was cool a few years ago. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm using this now. And so I had all of this information on this fucking flash drive. And I know this is terrible, but they wouldn't give me any money for anything good. So it's like, this is better than some janky half-assed thing in some of the infrastructure they built. So I went with it. And then when the new company came in and we started actually securing shit, I'm like, so about this thing, what do you guys want to do?
We want to burn your boss at the stake for ever allowing that to happen. Being controlled by corporate? I mean, you're a trusted guy. I know it's your job to look after those things, but I believe the backup should have been in a safe in the office.
They wouldn't.
Not in your
they
back
wouldn't.
Pocket.
They wouldn't give me the money for a safe. I tried to do that. They wouldn't fucking do it. They said, "Oh, lock it in your desk drawer. That's good enough." And I'm like, but the, it's like, well, just use your own flash drive and lock it in a safe drawer. It's like, that's not a good way to do this. It's like, can I set up something in Amazon and maybe, do some encryption on it? Well, what's it going to cost? Well, whatever the S3 bucket would cost to lock it down correctly. No, we don't want to spend any money on that. This is from the same CIO who thought that VMware was going to be dead and was spending enough money every month with Amazon to rebuild the data center three times over. And was spinning up multiple Amazon accounts to structure the payments to hide from accounting how much money he was spending with fucking Amazon. He wouldn't let me spend the extra $10 a month on an S3 bucket with an encryption. Anyways. Not bitter. Not bitter at all. So, yeah. It's an interesting read on the SSH lateral movement if you've done any work with SSH or breaking into boxes. What were we doing? Was I closing out the show? Is that what we were doing?
I believe so.
Okay. This is the stream we're always working on. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. Madman, closing thoughts.
The world is full of stupid people. Try to avoid them.
That's a good closing thought. Are you closing thoughts?
No.
I'll accept it. My own closing thought, I'm beginning to wonder if therapy might be better than yelling at the internet and drinking heavily. Probably not.
No.
I know people that have those degrees. Avoid them. Like I said, stupid people are dangerous.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Down to go nose down and call tonight.
Shut up, Wesley.
Where's the thing?
Is it okay to say the N-word?
Yes!
No.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Let's hear it.
No.
Let's hear it. No.